Praise God, saints. You all have a sermon outline in your bulletins to follow along with me today. And this morning, we received a phone call that kind of upset me a lot, greatly, and it's upset a lot of people in the congregation. So I'm not really sure how this morning's service went, because I kind of blanked out, I think. But we want to let everyone know that we lost our very own Valerie Green this morning. She went home to be with the Lord. Valerie Green is, she used to come to the first service, so many of you may not have gotten to meet her. But she had a long fight with cancer. And the Lord saw her through many, many, many miracles and gave her healing and restoration. And this time her healing meant that she was coming home. So we need to lift up our family. That's Paulette. Many of us know Paulette and Pearlie and even Helen back there, though. This Helen Brittis, that's her family. And so we just need to keep them all lifted up in prayer, because Valerie had two little ones. EJ is about 6 or 7, and Mackenzie is about 8, 9, or 10. I'm not sure, but they are very young. And we had all had our prayer shawls ready to take over there to them, and Valerie knew about the prayer shawls. So we don't have much information. We do know that she passed away in the wee early hours of this day, like in the 12 o'clock a.m. hour, and that's about all we know right now. So we'll keep you up to date. But she is on my heart today. So let us look at this word of God, because God has a word for each and every one of us, especially on a day like this. We cannot take one day for granted. Not one day for granted, because none of us are promised tomorrow. We're not even promised later on today. So it's a good thing we're all in the right place to get ourselves together today. So saints, if you look at your sermon outlines with me today, what is our sermon title? You're in a new situation. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God of new situations. Many times, Lord, when we wake up and get out of bed in the morning, we expect the day to go one way, Lord, but we find ourselves in a new situation. We find that our plans have been traded for somebody else's plans that we did not expect to have. But we thank you, gracious God, that you already knew the plans, Lord. It may have been a surprise to us, Lord Jesus, but you already had the plan. You already had the victory. So we give you all the praise. We ask your blessings upon this message today as you open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive you. We give you all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God, saints. This is a continuation of our sermon series called It's Game Time. I started us off when we started the new year and looking at, was our year today, this year, better than it was 10 years ago? And then Pastor Toby followed us up with working on a winning season. Taught us about we did not want to have a losing season, we want to have a winning season. Then Pastor Rick preached a sermon last week and trained us on what it meant to call that audible. Amen. And so today we're going to talk about a different situation in games, and it's called What Happens When You Get Traded. And you know, I had to begin by confessing to you all, I confessed to the first service, this is a big confession on my part, but I'm not a sports person. I'm not an athlete, never have been, never probably will be. I really don't understand sports. I don't understand any one of them, basketball, football, golf, any of them. The rules are very complicated and hard to understand, and it's really hard to keep up with sports, amen. And when Pastor Rick was preaching last Sunday and he was talking about a green 21 and a purple number 87 and whatever colors he was using, I was just kind of like, because I did not get it. But I'm always, you know, when I think about sports, I think, wow, these games are really hard to understand. And not only is the game hard to understand, it's hard to keep up with all the different players. Because the players are always getting traded. This one's going from this team to that team, and this one's going from this team to that team. And most of the sports players, I don't even really know. I have to confess again that most of the basketball players that I know about came from the 80s and 90s. You know, I know who Michael Jordan is. Amen. Anybody else? No Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. You know, and I got those real good. Pastor T got Kareem Abdul, but I couldn't even remember his name. I'm doing good most days to remember LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, but if you ask me anybody else, I'm just going to shut down on you because I really don't know who they are. But it just seems that these team players are often moving around from team to team, amen? And if it's one thing that all team sports have in common is that the players are often always getting traded. They are always going from team A to team B. Now, if you're real old school, and I'm going to tell you just like I told the morning service, I'm not calling you old, I'm just saying old school. But some of y'all real old school, and you remember a player called Moses Malone. And you know, this morning, I thought I was going with this story, you guys. I thought I had it all correct. I got finished with that sermon. Lamont put me to the back. He said, that's not how it went. So you see how bad I am with this sports thing, because I thought I had it all right. But Moses Malone was this player who got traded quite a few times, amen. He got traded. He started in the Portland Trailblazers, apparently. That was his first team. He didn't even play a game, and he got traded to his next team. Yeah, y'all got to give Lamont all the credit, because I didn't know none of this. So he didn't even play one game. He got traded to his next team. He went to the Buffalo, Buffalo Bills? Thank you. Thank you. So he went to the Buffalo team. He played two games on that team and got traded to Houston. So then he went from Houston to Philadelphia. He got traded again and again and again. And see, this morning, I thought he was on the Lakers and got traded to Philly, but Lamont corrected me. He was really on Philly, and he was on Philly and defeated the Lakers and won this game. Okay, that was just too much in that. I'm shutting down on myself. So anyway, Moses Malone was in this situation where he was getting traded constantly, saints. And when he was traded, just like every other player, they can ask themselves some questions. They can say, is this a better situation for me? Or is this a worse situation for me? Do I have control of this situation, or do I not have control of this situation? And then my favorite is, do I even deserve to be traded? Do I deserve to have this trade happen to me? And just like any other player, they would start with all of these questions, amen? What is going on? Why am I getting traded? Now let me ask you, saints, trading happens in all parts of life. Have you ever got traded on something? Trading just doesn't occur in games. It occurs in every single one of our lives. Yeah. Let me show you how. And I'm going to try to say this real nicely. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings if you're sensitive out there. Saying it real nicely. Has anyone in here, and I put my hand up first, has anyone in here ever been let go? That means you've been dumped. Somebody came in the room and said, baby, it's not you, it's me. Things just not working, I need time. And then you find out 2 weeks later that that time is being spent with somebody else and you've been traded. Yeah. Or maybe you wasn't the one that got traded, maybe you was the one that did the dumping. Maybe you was the one came in the room and said, baby, things not working out too good. Knowing the whole time you had somebody else on that satellite. But we all been traded at some point in life. Even those of us that are married right now, sometimes we feel like our husband or our wife got traded. Come in the house and our husband is, you're like, ooh, who traded you for my real husband? Where is he at? Husbands be looking like, whoa, where is my wife? Because you are not the one I married. Training cars with our kids, you wonder sometimes, like, wow, whose kids is those? Kids be looking at their parents like, that is not my mother, please. That is not my father. You know, we get traded. Anybody over here got fired from a job? Anybody like me, you got fired from a few jobs? You see, they realized something about us. We wasn't doing our job right, and they traded us for somebody else who would. Or maybe you didn't get fired, but you already knew you wanted another job, so you casually slid out of that company like, I'm already looking at this company over here, and y'all about to get traded. Trading even happens in our finances. Some of us went from being broker than broke, to having a little money. Life got a little different. We traded that brokenness for a little wealth and prosperity. Heartbreakingly, some of us went from having a whole lot of money, being very wealthy, to being broke, and you traded your richness for your poverty. That's a hard one to think about. Thank goodness most of us started off broke and we went up. You see, that's what we always think. We should have money. But people with money lose money. See, when you ain't never had nothing, you don't know what it's like to lose it. But in all situations, saints, we all can start with these questions. Am I better or worse in this situation? Did I have control or no control? Or did I deserve it or not? You know, see, saints, we can all sit there with the whys. Why is this happening to me? Why are you leaving me? Ever been in that relationship where you did not want him to leave you? All right, come on now. I'm not the only one. I am not the only one that was like, please don't leave me. I cannot live without you. Oh, yeah. That was me. I got an amen in the way back. please don't leave me. You just stand there. Why are you doing this to me? You ask those kind of questions. Why are you doing this to me? And then when they don't answer your questions the way you want it, you get angry, a little bitter, and you start saying, you know what, I'm going to get you back. Don't you worry, I'm going to be stalking you and your new girlfriend the whole time. It's not a good thing, but we've done those things, amen, because we got traded. And we can stand there pondering on these questions. Why is this happening to me? I didn't do anything to deserve this, Lord. please let me get back to where I was at. We say those things. And we can get just stuck in this cycle of asking questions and wondering why and trying to figure out, did we deserve this or not? And trying to figure out, could we have done something to control it and do differently in our lives, saints? But saints, we cannot go back. We cannot go back. As much as we would like to go backward, we cannot go back. Anybody in here wish to be 21 again? Pastor T says she don't. Okay, how about 30? 40? 50? Maybe 50, Pastor T said. You know, but often we sit there thinking, boy, if I could just go back. You know, that's why we had that little statement, player for the Himalayas. Because he want to go back. He old school, but he's still trying to act like he new school. He's trying to get back to where he wants to be. And we cannot go back. I remember sitting with a woman. She was very, very sick. And she said to me, I just wish I could go back to the way that things were. But none of us can go back, amen? None of us can go back. We're all in new situations. So we can either spend a whole lot of time running around. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? What happened to my life? Or we can realize we got some options. We got some options. We don't have to sit there talking about why, oh, why me? How did this happen? You know, we can analyze things until they are black and blue. But what we really need to do is stand up and say, what am I going to do about this? And then honestly do it. Amen. And you see, sometimes when we get traded, we can look at our options, and we have really kind of four options. We can, number one, we can pretend that this didn't even happen. You know, LeBron James left us to go to the Miami Heat. But what if he got traded back to Cleveland? Pastor T said that would be a good thing, but LeBron probably would not appreciate that at all. You know, what if LeBron came back and he refused to take off his Miami Heat outfit? He out there playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers with a Miami Heat hat on. We'd all be looking like, LeBron, we know you used to play for Miami, but you're in Cleveland now. You need to change your outfit. But some of us, we try to pretend. We know our situation is different, and we still try to keep pretending like it hasn't changed. We've been traded. But we said, oh, no, that's still my boyfriend. We've been traded. I'm going to get that job back. No, you're not. We've been traded. So our first option, we can pretend like nothing didn't even happen. Our second option is we can start complaining and getting bitter and angry and negative and just all the things that are wrong in life. And instead of going forward. Or we can move to number three, tell your neighbor, or. We can do what Pastor Rick taught us and call that audible. And call that audible. Because we can remember that we all have a choice. We always have a choice. We always have a decision. And what we have been trying to teach through this sermon series is that with God, we have a choice. We have a decision. And with God, God is the ultimate game changer. Amen. And with God, we can change the entire game. But the question is not just what do? You know you have a choice to make, but it's what are you going to do after that to get up and move on? So we can sit around pretending, we can complain, and we can whine and cry, and we can do all this fussing and stomping and bumping, or we can do like Billy showed us in that Martin Luther King speech last week. We can stop being all bent over, letting everybody walk on us. We can straighten our backs up so can't nobody stand on top of us. We can knock the dust off, and we can start cheering. I know you're thinking, cheering? I just got traded. What should I be cheering about? Well, Pastor Toby taught us that it's a new winning season, amen? So start cheering that our new situation may be new to us, but it was never new to Jesus Christ. Our new situation may be new to us, but it was always a part of God's plan. And since it was that plan, we can say, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. I know you already got me in this. You know, saints, I decided a long time ago, whenever my day started off bad and whenever things started getting kind of fuzzy and I was in a new situation that I didn't like being in, I started doing like this. I started looking. Where you at, Jesus? I know you're about to show up because I need you right now. You know, because otherwise we could sit there, oh, no, I shouldn't be here. Who did this to me? Why is my day going so bad? Help me, that's not getting us anywhere. Start looking for Jesus. What am I going to do? How is Jesus going to help me through this plan? You know, in our scripture reading this morning, we read about two different people. We read about Esau and Saul, who eventually became Paul. And we're going to look at them not just as the men that they were in the Bible, but as two people, two men, two players who were both traded to different teams. Esau, I like reading about Esau because Esau is a twin, just like I am. And Esau, not only is a twin, he's a firstborn twin, just like I am. And we know, all of us that were firstborners, any firstborners in the house? All right. We know that the whole world revolves around the firstborn. Or at least we think we do. That's not really true. But the whole world seems to have revolved around Esau as the firstborn child. And there seemed to have been something special about him and his family. He was the one that got all of the attention. How many of us have families where, you know, the firstborn and the baby, they seem to get all the attention? Y'all know. Y'all had those conversations before. Seemed like us and the middle children always get stuck to the side. Oh. And that comes from a true middle child right there. So Esau was this firstborn son, and he got the birthright. That meant he got the double portions of the inheritance when his father died. That meant he would become the spiritual leader of his household after his father died. And more importantly, that meant he would receive the covenant that God first established through Abraham, then brought it to Isaac, and now Esau was going to get it. Everything seemed right in the world for Esau. But. Esau wasn't too happy. Esau was just like all of us. We always looking at somebody else's stuff and thinking they got it so much better than we do. Let me tell you, all the middleborns, being the firstborn is not very special. Being the baby is not very special. We all have our ups and downs and our challenges in the family. We all have our ups and downs. But Esau was like us. Sometimes he had a high and mighty attitude about being the firstborn. You know, my sister used to tell me that you just act high and mighty because you're the first. You see, sometimes when you're in that first position, you can think that you deserve something special. You don't even have to be in the first position. You just think you're the golden child. You deserve something special. Why should you have to work hard for anything in your life? Some of us, things come to so easily. You just never have to work hard for anything at all. And we begin to take things for granted. And you know, instead of appreciating the place of privilege that we have, we are ungrateful for our blessings. And we become like Esau and we despise our blessings. It's so interesting to me that people always envy what other people have. And then some people are envying you for what you have. And you're thinking, well, I don't have that much. Why are you envying my life? You know, we all know Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was always wishing that he had a normal childhood. That always stumped me, because all of us that had a normal childhood was always wishing we had Michael Jackson's childhood. And Esau was kind of like that. He was always looking around at the life he didn't have, amen? And you see, saints, when we get in a situation like that, when we're always thinking, oh, her life is better than mine, or oh, his life is better than mine, we begin to open ourselves up to temptations. Temptations that haunt us all the time, and we don't even realize it. Now, Pastor Rick told us last week, we can't handle temptations, not even a little bit, amen? Temptations sneak up on us when we don't even expect it. And sometimes the temptations are so innocent, so little, we don't even think of them as a temptation. But when we are weak and vulnerable and whining and crying, those temptations come right on up, like, I'm glad to see you. And you see, Esau was weak and vulnerable and groaning about his life. Oh, why me? Why me? Why do I got to be the firstborn? And he was out in the fields hunting, and he came home all day from being outside. He had been working. He was hungry. He was tired. Anybody ever got home like that? I'm hungry. I'm tired. I got a bad attitude. My mood is ugly, and I don't feel like talking to you. That's definitely one of your people looking at you like somebody traded her for somebody else. So Esau was tired and upset. He got home. He had a hard day, and he smelled this stew. Ever walked in the house, Mary be cooking in the church. As soon as we all walk in, we're like, Mary's in the house. I smell them grits. Smell them biscuits downstairs. Bacon is a brewing. Something about as soon as you walk in the house that you smell that food, your attitude start getting a little better. So Esau came in this house, and he's hungry and grumpy and everything, and he smelled that stew. And he said, ooh, I'd give anything for some of that stew. And his brother Jacob said, anything? Esau said, yeah, I'd give anything for that stew. Jacob said, would you give anything? Esau wasn't paying attention. He was too hungry. Let me tell you, saints, don't make decisions when you're hungry. Don't make decisions when you're hungry, tired, grumpy, or in the bad news, because you will always, always, always make the bad mistake. Esau wasn't thinking too clearly. His stomach was thinking for him, and he said, I'll give anything for that stew. And you might be sitting there thinking, how can anyone give up so much for food? For a bowl of stew that probably wasn't even that good after he ate it. But temptation, saints, come in any form. You know, I started to bring a bag, a box of Krispy Kreme donuts and some Snicker bars and a tub of ice cream and set it right here in front of y'all just to see what y'all was going to do. But I knew y'all wasn't going to be focused on this sermon, so I didn't bring no Krispy Kreme donuts. They wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it. I've been up here with Krispy Kreme donuts. Food is the game changer, amen. Look at Adam and Eve, saints. They gave up this garden, walking every day in the garden with God. God said, don't eat off that tree. And as soon as they heard the words, don't, that tree looked real good. Now, maybe God had said, eat off that tree. They probably wouldn't have ever went toward it. But as soon as he said, don't eat off that tree, The temptation became bigger and better. You know, Pastor Rick talked to us about the things that are killing our community, and he said sex was one of the number one culprits that is killing us. And then he talked about how our inability to rise up and participate in politics is destroying us as well, saints. But if I had to add anything on that list, I would add food for our community. The food choices we have are killing us, or that we make are killing us. And let me just be clear, this is not about being skinny or a certain weight or a certain size. This is about eating right, eating healthy. Any one of us can drop down from a heart attack right now because we have had one too many French fries. We have had one too many double cheeseburgers. Does it matter our size? It matters what have you put in your body. And we know that African Americans are dying at a faster rate from high cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes, amen, because we refuse to take on the temptations of our diets. You know, saints, I remember learning that back in the day, slaves had to eat certain things. You know, they got the bottom of the barrel, that this was all that was left. And so that's how they ate, and they learned to make this wonderful food that we love called soul food. We love to eat our collard greens, our macaroni and cheese, our greens, our ham, our eggs, and bacon, all that stuff. We love it. Smash on the butter. We love it. Get the salt pouring on there. We got some fat back, some ham hocks. Chitlins, woo-hoo! We like to eat, don't we? But saints, we are in a new situation. We are no longer on the plantation. So we got to stop having that mentality that we got to eat down at the bottom of the barrel. I know it tastes good. I'm getting hungry up here just thinking about it. But our food choices are killing us. And it's time for us not only to change around our attitudes and our choices about sex and politics, it's time for us to change our attitudes about what we eat. You know, Esau gave it all up for a bowl of stew. A bowl of stew, and we shouldn't be so easy to criticize him because many of us have turned our whole back on whatever we was doing because we smelled some chocolate in the room. Karen was telling me about a barbecue store. She walked past the barbecue, and she was like, whoo. Her and her son was like, let's go get that barbecue. The whole bus stop got up and went to the barbecue store. Lying out the door at Popeye's Chicken, trying to get that chicken. But we got to make some new decisions and new choices about our health and about how we live. But Esau gave up everything for this bowl of stew. The problem is, saints, once this golden child that was at the top, once he gave it all up, he fell quickly to the bottom. And now instead of being the golden child, he was the left out child. Instead of being the firstborn, he switched his position and became like the secondborn child in his family. Esau had a completely new and different situation. Now I know we can look at that as saying, well, how is that fair? They both should have had equal from the beginning. Then they wouldn't have had no problems, right? I know some of y'all thinking that because I would have said that too. All of them should have had the birthright. Then we wouldn't have this situation. And a lot of people look at Christianity and say, that's not fair. How can God give to one but not to the other? How do you get this blessing but you don't? How is it that you're provided for and you're not? We all ask those questions. And it was a woman that asked a man. She went up to him and said, tell me, how is it that God can love one? How can God love this one and not the other one? How can God hate this one and reject this one, but then love this one over here? And the man answered her back. He said, I truly understand how God can hate us all. Because what have any of us done to deserve anything? He said, I can completely understand how God can hate us, how God can reject us, how God can turn his back on us because we are all sinners. We are all the ones that are deserving of God's condemnation. He said, this is my question. This is what I don't understand. Knowing who we are, knowing how much sin we accomplish in one day, how can God love us? How can God choose us? How can God accept us knowing who we are? And this is the situation. You see, Esau was in a situation where we would look at his trade as he was traded down. He went down. And we would look at Esau's situation and say, he wasn't blessed by God. He wasn't blessed by God. And Esau even went on to his father, please, father, tell me, is there anything left for me? Now, he could have stood around complaining, oh, this is unfair. Why is this happening to me? Blah, 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 blah. He could have did that whole cycle, but he didn't. He stood up straight, dusted off that back. He took the blessing that his father gave to him, and he went on to become a blessed person in the Bible. You know, saints, in our Bibles, we all are supposed to be reading our Bibles, right, on a regular occasion. But I learned in this study that most of us in here, the men spend more time shaving than we do reading the Word of God. The women spend more time putting on makeup than we do reading the Word of God. That's scary, isn't it? Because some of us don't even wear that much makeup. So here we are with this Word of God in front of us. And Esau, he's listed in here. Now, we would have thought that he had lost his blessing. And when we're reading this Word of God, many of us, y'all know those long lines that say, he begat him and he begat him. Most of us just skip right on that. We don't even pay attention to that. Say, oh, those words, too long, too complicated, skip. But if we was to stop and really pay attention to Esau, we see that Esau's lineage is listed just like everybody else's. And that he, too, received a blessing from God. And that although it seemed that he went from the first place to the second place, he stood up in his new situation and said, it may be new to me, but it was never new to God. It was never new to God. You see, if we remember way back, God already had told Rebecca about the twins in her womb and which one would be which one and who would be who. So he already knew the plan. So it may have been new to Esau, but it was not new to God. And Esau stood up in his position and he said, I'm going to take on this new situation in my life. I'm going to accept it and still be blessed by God. Another person that we can look at is Saul. Saul, who eventually became Paul. And we know about Saul because many of us know that he is the one that persecuted the church. He was the one killing all the Christians. Well, they called them the people of the way. He was the one killing all the Christians. And guess what, saints? In the Jewish community, he was looked at as a leader. He was the top dog in the bunch there. He was the man. Suddenly, Paul's going on to this trip. He's going to get some new Christians. He has his experience. Jesus comes to him and says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul realizes, oh my goodness, Jesus is really true. I'm in trouble now. He loses his sight, saints. He loses his sight. And here we have Saul. He is the persecutor for the Jews. He is the leader. And now he's in the position that he's faced with the reality of Jesus Christ. Now, Saul, if we look at it from the Jewish perspective, looks like he traded down. Saul could have easily gone back to the Jewish people and said, you know what, I really didn't meet no Jesus. I don't know nothing about no Jesus. I didn't have no kind of experience. Nothing happened. Because guess what, saints? Soon as Saul said that Jesus was real, that changed his position on the team. He could no longer be in this camp. You know how you go to a game? If you're the rival, you can't sit on this side of the camp. You got to sit over there on that bench. You know, the small, ugly-looking bench. You can't sit over here. And here's Saul. He got traded. His position went from being over here to this group of Christians. And do you think he was immediately accepted among the Christians? No. The Christians were looking at him like, I don't think you're coming over here with us. You were just trying to kill me 5 minutes ago. Now you're trying to be my friend? So if you look at it from either perspective, Saul had a different, difficult situation. He was in this new situation, and he could have kept pretending and saying, you know what, I never knew about Jesus. He could have complained and said, Lord, why did you do this to me? Give me back my life. Or he could call that audible that Pastor Rick taught us about. He could say, I got to make a new decision. Got to stand up straight. Got to wipe that dust off my back. I got to realize that it may be a new plan to me. but it was always a part of God's plan. And because of Paul's situation to decide to accept his new situation, he went on to become blessed by God. He became the leader, one of the founding leaders of the Christian church, along with the other men and women, the disciples and the apostles and all of that. But it was not easy in his new situation, amen? You see, Esau and Saul were both traded. And they had to face the fact that they were on completely different teams. They had a new situation. They had to go on a new journey, and they could not go backward. But let me ask you, saints, do you realize that you have been traded? Do you realize what team you're a part of? You see, we talked about Adam and Eve. And a long time ago, Adam and Eve sinned, and they caused the downfall of all of humanity. That meant all of us were separated from God. We were all on the team of the downfall, all of us. And Jesus looked out. He's like, I'm looking at this game field, looking at these players, and Jesus says, I'm going to make my move. And he says, my life for all of theirs. My life for yours. And when he made that one statement, he changed the game, saints. He changed the game, and we went from the team of the downfall to the winning team. We went from the losers to becoming the winners, saints. And we could all stand around talking about, why me, why me, why me? But when we get to heaven, all of us are going to be saying, thank God it was me. Thank God it was me, because we can all realize that none of us did one thing to deserve for Jesus to trade positions with us. We didn't do any one thing. And saints, since we all know that we are now on this new team, this new Christian team, well, it's not new, but it might be new for some of us. When we're all on this team, we can say, what are our options? Some of us are going to pretend, oh, I don't know those Christians. I really don't go to that church. That's my mama's church. It's my grandmama's church. You know, I'm just going to try to pretend. I'm going to keep dressing like I want to dress. I'm going to keep acting like I want to act. I'm going to keep talking like I want to act, because I want to look like I'm on the cool team. So we can keep pretending, or we can complain. I just don't like going to this church. It's day too early. They got too much music, too much noise. Complain, complain, complain. Or we can call that audible. We can realize that Jesus gave us a new plan, a new situation. And although it may be new to us, it's always been a part of God's plan for all of us to be in that plan. All of us to be in that plan, saints. Now it's time for us to start moving. Make your legs move like you're walking. It's time for us to start moving, saints. It's time for us to start stepping up. You see, saints, when Billy taught us in that skit last week that we straightened up our backs, saints, we wiped that dust off. But if you look at all the civil rights stories, all the history of black people, they started walking. You know, the slaves had to walk from Mississippi. They had to walk from South Carolina. The civil rights movement, they was walking all the way to D.C. They started walking because they said, it's time to step things up, saints. It's time to go to a new level, to a winning season, to a winning level. And next Sunday, Pastor T is going to talk to us about what does that look like? What does it mean to step up to that new level in Christ, saints? You got to come back to find out. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are so good. So awesome, so amazing, Lord Jesus. And even though every day, Lord, we think we have a plan, it is so awesome and amazing to realize that you have the plan, the only plan, the way, the truth, and the life for each and every one of us. That you made a sacrifice for all of us, and when you decided, I'm going to trade my life so that they could have life and have it abundantly. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice for all of us on our behalf. We give you all the praise, Lord, but we know, Lord, that there are some right now who have not joined the game. They're sitting on the sidelines, gracious God. They're pretending like they don't know you, Lord Jesus. But I would pray today, Lord, that you would open up all of our eyes, all of our minds, to see that all of us are a part of this game and that you are the ultimate game changer. So we give you all the praise, Lord, and we thank you for who you are in our lives. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, Amen and amen. Saints, the doors of the church are open. We invite all that don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to come on up and pray with our lay pastors and pastors. Or if you just need to get right, we're going to stand up and say, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your new plan and your new way in my life.